Yeah.
So if you please can take your seats. I know the first session ended up a bit late, but we need to start to allow time for our discussions.
For the transcript, this is Doc Punnery on Sunday, starting at 11:16.
So welcome everyone to the joint working group on the ATRT GAC related recommendations implementation. Today we'll be mainly discussing the GAC early engagement within the PDP, but before we start this discussion, we're going to go through a few pending issues that were communicated over the mailing list. First of all, there was a remark made by Denmark, if I'm not mistaken, that the circulated documents were mentioned to be not approved by the board. My understanding is once the working group finalizes the overall suggestion, it's ultimately going to be approved by the board, and I have confirmed this understanding from my co-chair, Bill Graham. The other quick thing was also a note mentioned by EMF from Spain. It was actually two things. The first thing was a mere editorial minor suggestions that were already reflected into the document and circulated by Bill on the mailing list. So this is noted and taken care of. The other part, which I believe is a substantial suggestion, is setting a time frame for the development of the consultations between the board and the GAC. The time frame suggested by Spain was 6 months, but again, we can first of all decide in principle and hear from the board what they think on setting a maximum time limit for such consultations and what would be an appropriate time limit for this. Additionally, there was a suggestion from Spain also that should the board decide to go not to follow the GAC advice, there has to be two-thirds of the board agreeing to this. So, and let me hand to my co-chair to hear the board side on this.
Thank you very much, Manel, and thank you all for attending. I see there's a good attendance on the board side of the working group as well, and I'd like to thank my colleagues for joining us this morning. There has been some discussion internally, and I think it's safe to say that the board is very pleased with the way the work has been moving here. So thanks to all for their efforts. On these two issues, I've been having informal discussions with board members on the question of the time limit and also the supermajority. And there is a good deal of interest on the board side in both of these in the positive sense. I would say in summary, and I'd invite comments following if there are any, on the time limit, I think I've heard quite general agreement. This is a useful idea. We would like to get an estimate from the staff so that a set of guidelines can be drafted in terms of how much time it should take for us to be responding so that they're realistic, but we will get back to you with a response on that. On the question of the two-thirds majority or the supermajority, this is also something that in informal discussion people have been quite positive, but it is something that would require a bylaw change. There is some, I wouldn't say a precedent, but there is a similar requirement for the board rejecting GNSO advice, so that precedent is certainly there. I think the best we can do at this point is ask the staff to draft a resolution for a bylaw change and go through the normal processes for a bylaw change. Frankly, the suggestion seems to me to be quite sensible. Several of my colleagues have said that as well. But I do need to caution that it is a bylaw change and therefore it's a bit more onerous. Manal, may I ask if any of the other board members want to comment on this? I don't see any. Oh, wait, Chris.
Sorry, thanks, Bill. Just a really brief comment on the timeline thing. The concept of having a deadline is fine, but we need to be very careful because different pieces of advice will trigger off different things, and it's not a one-size-fits-all scenario. So if you look at XXX, for example, we put a whole process in place following advice received from the GAC, and that took a long time. Some things can be dealt with almost immediately. So I just want to caution about being. We need some flexibility on both sides, I think, with timelines. But I'll just feed that into the discussion.
Thank you, Chris. And yes, that is something that I'm aware of, and I think the proposal we'll come back with will likely be for guidelines rather than hard and fast timelines, recognizing that different issues will require different amounts of effort.
So, any more comments on this before we move to the next pending issue? So, again, it was raised during our preparatory conference call before we came here and again here yesterday that we would like to go through our GAC communique in light of the board response to our to the GAC advice. The GAC chair mentioned that there is already a written response to the GAC advice of Prague that's being and it was already circulated, I think, yesterday. Probably colleagues did not have the time to go through the response yet, but there was a suggestion that we might include this as one of the steps required in the overall communication process between the board and the GAC, and also have some time frame that is reasonable and allows the GAC to go through the board response early enough and adapt the agenda and modify the agenda of the current GAC meeting accordingly. So, again, if UK doesn't have anything to add to their own suggestion, then maybe we can hear from the board their reaction.
Thank you again, Manel. The board recognizes that our response to the Prague communique took significantly longer than is ideal. And again, several of us have been discussing whether there is a way to improve the process so that we can get our responses to you in a more timely fashion. Ray Polzak and myself have discussed this at some length, and we are going to be circulating a board paper to talk about a method for making this work better, so that you do have adequate time to both read and consider board responses well before your meetings in future. A pilot of that will be launched in response to the Toronto communique. So I hope you'll see, I hope you'll recognize immediate improvement. Again, this has been socialized with a number of board members, and there is broad agreement that, yes, we need to do better and commitment to do better. Thank you.
So, perfect. This is encouraging news. Netherlands, please.
Yes, thank you. One thing what I would add is also a kind of expectation management. We heard yesterday that there was an advice, and there will be, let's say, it was distributed yesterday. In between, in the 2 or 3 months, we didn't hear, at least, let's say, the GEC membership didn't hear anything at all about what was going on behind the curtains preparing this. So even if you, it's perfectly understandable that these are public policy advice on several objects, several subjects, which is kind of complicated, that it could take more time to have a response. But also, if the response is not given, or it will be given in, let's say, after Toronto, whatever, it's good to signal to the GEC membership, okay, we are going to do this and that, and you will expect it then, and this takes more time than the other ones. So that's more a process information aspect. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, Ray, please, and then Mark. Okay.
Addressing your specific concern, you know, as Bill said, he and I have been discussing it, and that is precisely one of the things that we've been discussing, is how to do just what you're asking. So so you're giving us a very nice soft pitch to hit back at you.
So, UK?
Yes, thanks very much, and thanks very much, Bill and Ray, for those reassuring statements of commitment to address this problem, because as I'm sure you appreciate, there's a lot of work that has to be done in preparing for these meetings, and that involves consulting other parts of administrations, and there are conflicts of with other work that we government representatives have to undertake in other fora and so on. So I'm very reassured by your statements that you will help us in that regard. Thank you.
Sweden.
Thank you very much. And I also want to say what the chairman Ali is saying. The message you give is reassuring, that you're trying to adjust your routine so we can get some response earlier. And I was going to say a similar thing that Netherlands was saying, that it's important that we get some kind of signals that work is going on. And as the GAC communique contains a lot of questions and we need feedback in certain areas, and some of them can be more complicated than others, I think it's better that you wait until you have all the answers and send it, and then give it in chunks instead, so we know that things are happening, and if you signal that a few of the issues might be more complex to answer, it's also good for us to know, but at least it's something is going on. Thank you.
Yeah, good morning, everybody. I'd just like to highlight that actually this is part of a broader exercise that the board is undertaking at the moment in terms of streamlining the workflow of interaction with all the different constituencies. Because, to be frank, the issue that we're addressing here is an issue that is appearing in many other interactions with other actors in the community. And keeping track of what has been said, what we heard, what kind of a response we plan to make, and what is the timeline, and what is the status, is something that actually we are implementing in the rest of the relationships. And I must say that in a certain way, the discussion that took place on this topic in the interactions between the GAC and the board has provided a sort of template that we are replicating all across the board. But the second point I would like to make, at the same time, one of the great benefits of having the meetings of ICANN is the interaction that is the direct interaction. And I think it would be a bad use of everybody's time if both on the GAC side and on the board side, most of the interactions is limited to the written part. So it's important to see what has to be in written format, what has to be a response in written format, whereas in many cases the response to the advice can be just to come back and say, well, it was integrated in whatever process that is being going on. So I just wanted to highlight those two dimensions, generalizing this approach of systematizing the follow-through, and second, to make sure in all interactions that the due proportion is being given to what has to be formalized and what is the exchange.
Thank you, Bertrand. And I'm just mentioning the name because I recognized that the transcripts were not didn't have the name. So those are the things we have taken note of so far, and I do apologize if we have missed any other substantial communications. So if we don't have other remarks or comments right now, we can move directly to the... Okay, I can see already Spain.
Do members of the board have their headphones ready? I'm speaking in Spanish. Thank you, Manal, and the board members for taking the time to review my comments. As far as the first comment goes, I believe that it is important to set a time frame for the board members to look at the GAC comments and provide a response, and so that together the GAC and the board can reach some level of agreement. Sometimes the GAC is criticized for being too slow in making decisions, or arriving late with the ICANN processes, and setting some time limit for the GAC to reach an agreement in a timely manner could be beneficial for the GAC and for the decision-making process in ICANN as a whole. As regards the majority vote for the board to make a decision regarding the GAC advice, I also believe that that is of critical. The board always has the last word, but the ICANN bylaws obliges the board to take into account the advice issued by governments. In that regard, in the hypothetical scenario in which we could not reach an agreement, if the board were to decide not to move forward, well, it would, or not to consider that advice, it would be good to have a majority vote. And I understand that you need to modify the bylaws, but I haven't heard your opinion about making that change to the bylaws. Are you convinced that that change is necessary, or is it just a matter of saying, well, we need to change the bylaws, and you are not going to try to modify the bylaws? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Spain, for those comments taken on board. As I said, in informal discussions, I hear some board members expressing the view that this is a reasonable request, but we have not yet had an opportunity to have a formal board meeting or to look at specific language. So I would say that it really is impossible for me to tell you that all of the board supports this until we actually have a specific proposal in front of us. I would be prepared to commit that we will be looking at a specific proposal, and I would hope that we would take that view that positively. But that's only my personal opinion. I'm not able to express the view of the entire board on this. Thanks.
So if we don't have any more comments, then maybe we can move to our second agenda item, which is a discussion on how to involve the GAC early within the PDP. And there's a presentation that has been prepared by the ICANN staff. If we can have the presentation.
Thank you, Manal and Bill, for this opportunity, and members of the GAC and the board, looking at this issue of early engagement in the policy development process. My name is David Olive. I'm Vice President of Policy Development Support at ICANN, and I'm accompanied by a colleague from my policy team, Brian Peck. The two of us will present some of the ideas on how there might be early engagement tools for the GAC, and we appreciate this opportunity. I just wanted to go through, if you recall, in Prague in June, we submitted a paper and we had a presentation to this group that talked about the various practices of the supporting organizations in their policy development process and their engagement with other stakeholders and members of the ICANN community. In that paper, you may recall that there is a more formalized, if you will, process within the CCNSO to inform the chairman of the GAC about certain processes that they're engaged at. And within the GNSO, there is not a formalized process, but an encouragement and engagement of various stakeholders in the working groups when they're focusing on issues within their PDP. But just to go through as a summary, the main policy-making bodies are generic name supporting organization, the GNSO, the country code name supporting organization, CCNSO, and the address supporting organization, the ASO. Each of them have their own particular unique process for a PDP, and we'll focus on the GNSO and CCNSO in a moment. Obviously, the advisory committees play a large part to influence and comment on those activities, the issues that are being identified, as well as requests for comments and inputs. And, of course, the ICANN advisory committees are listed here as they are made aware of and encouraged to be part of the processes of the supporting organizations in the PDP above. I wanted to present just a kind of a schematic view of and a summary of the Annex A of the bylaws that talk about this in detail. And this is kind of a flow chart that shows you from the beginning of the identification of an issue, various stages of the actions of the working groups, public comment periods, engagements of various groups, within ICANN to make them aware of and encourage them to have inputs into the various issues that are being discussed way before they get to the board. And obviously your goal would be to be looking at the top part of the project, top part of that graph, and rather than the bottom part where it's toward the board report or board council decisions. And that's what we'll try to focus on today. In particular, this would be a case for the GNSO policy development process. We have this schematic chart that informs people of what stage of the development the policy is at, beginning, middle, end, this type of approach, so that people know and can be engaged in. And in particular, with the GNSO policy development process, the issues scoping part, if you will, the beginning of the focus on what topic they should look at, how they should form a working group to engage in developing a proposal for ICANN and for the board to look at, it starts here at this particular group. And, of course, who can start these issue reports? A request from the board, a request from the respective councils, or request from the advisory committees to look at an issue for the GNSO Council to explore. And, of course, it would be at this stage, since in the new process this issue scoping paper is out for public comment, that would be an early warning, an early alert and engagement that the GAC could be aware of and look to follow an issue in their competency of identifying public policy effects. The CCNSO has a slightly different approach, so we kind of do it this way to show you of how they identify issues and go through that. This, again, is the stage of their process to something to present to the board for ratification. And in this particular case, the structuring, they have a mechanism where the chair of the CCNSO will inform the chair of the GAC about an announcement or about a way they can have inputs into the process. There's another stage in the CCNSO process here where they again invite the chair for advice or opinions from the GAC. Obviously, we try to keep the community informed, and the one vehicle we do use is the policy update, which is issued every month. There is a slight lag in the translation of that into the our languages, but this is the first issue that tries to present the latest developments, the changes in the status of various PDP activities and other activities within the groups that the policy development support facilitates. And obviously we also have in each issue a section of the GAC so that when readers they can look at this and they can click onto the GAC website and get further information, as we have listed of all the SOs and the ACs, their respective websites for further information. At the moment, the subscription, we have about over 3,000 people subscribe to this on a regular basis, and obviously we send that around to our various constituencies and make it available on the ICANN website, so more than 3,000 people get this on a monthly basis directly to their inbox. And I think you're also on the list and you receive this. I will now turn it over to kind of the overview of the policy development process that we facilitate and assist. I'll turn it over now to Brian Peck to talk about some of the ideas we have on this policy update, if I may.
Thank you very much, David, and good morning, everyone. Good late morning to you. As David mentioned, I'd like at this point to provide a brief overview of a proposed tool that hopefully would help facilitate opportunities for the GAC to become more engaged in an earlier process or earlier stage at the policy development process. The objective of this tool basically would be to notify the GAC members of any new or ongoing policy development process issue that might be of their concern or would raise possible public policy issues that the GAC would want to take a closer look at or perhaps provide input at. This tool would provide highlight early engagement opportunities in the policy development process. And what we envision here, which we'll show you in a second, are succinct one-pagers for each supporting organization policy issue or activity, and this will be published on a monthly basis. Possible options that we're looking at include separate reports for both the GNSO and the CCNSO, and again, we'll show you a mock-up in a second here, and also to highlight supporting organization-related public comments that are open that, again, that the GAC might be concerned with and raise possible public policy issues. What you see on the screen here is a template of the one-pager I just mentioned. And you can see we realize the amount of paperwork that you are inundated with, the amount of work and time that you need to dedicate in your activities in supporting the GAC. And so, again, the purpose of this would be to provide a very succinct but yet effective means of identifying new and ongoing public policy, or excuse me, policy development issues that may raise public policy concerns for the GAC. And so in that, we, as you can see, we highlight the issue, a brief summary. We identify the GAC engagement opportunity status with that graphic there showing where in the particular process stage each issue is at, with an opportunity for a link to the issue report, and then any additional information that might be relevant or useful, including open public comments and possibly other advisory committee input or participation on that particular issue. Apologize for the small print there, but this would be an example. For example, the current IRTPC process, which now is currently up for a vote before the GNSO Council. Again, the issue is briefly stated at the top, followed by a brief summary, followed by the graphic showing it where at the development process the current stage is located to see if at what point the GAC may be interested in providing input, provided with a link for the issue report that is relevant to the particular issue, and followed by a link to other relevant information that might be available and to help the GAC determine indeed whether it might want to provide some input. The next two are related to one-pagers involving issues from the CCNSO. Again, the graphic obviously being a little bit different to reflect the different process that is involved with that particular supporting organization, but the same format, identifying the issue, providing a brief summary, identifying possible opportunities at the stages of development for which the GAC could provide more early engagement, and then a link to other relevant information. Again, just another example for a mock-up of the CCNSO. Again, their process being a little bit different, and they have different types of situations where participation by the GAC calls for different stages of possible opportunities and to reflect this particular aspect of their policy development process. So again, the purpose of these one-pagers, which will be published on a monthly basis, would be to ensure or provide an early notice on policy development processes or PDPs and other policy-related matters for the purpose of being informed for the GAC individual members. They will cover both supporting organization PDPs, i.e. the GNSO and CCNSO. We are currently looking at perhaps providing advisory committee notices as well, and as you will notice on the mock-up, we would provide any relevant advisory committee input or activity as a link to help the GAC be aware that perhaps this might be an issue that they would take an interest in as well. The ultimate use of this early notice information or tool is to provide, you know, further input or GAC public comments, a more formal communication process such as notice about the start of the PDPs and policy-related issues is something we could also take into consideration. And certainly after this presentation, we're open to feedback and other ideas that the GAC members may have on how we can further facilitate early engagement in the PDP process. As has been discussed here previously, we'd like to propose the initiation of a pilot project, if you will, starting next month in November and to take place between now and the Beijing meeting as a way to see if perhaps this indeed these tools could help facilitate early engagement or earlier engagement by the GAC in the policy development process. And so it would begin with the publication of a series of one-pagers of issues that we previously showed to you. This would then facilitate the opportunity for the board, for the board support. Once these published, these monthly reports would be published, the board support would then submit these to the GAC secretariat for distribution to individual GAC members. Proposal would be then for the GAC secretariat and or the chair to then determine or to solicit volunteers, perhaps for a small working group that could then review the issue more closely to, again, indeed identify whether there might be public policy concerns involved and to determine whether early engagement might be necessitated or warranted. The next step would then be, to go ahead and to work within or discussions within the GAC to determine whether any sort of response or input would be necessary or warranted. And we would suggest perhaps using these monthly reports to engage directly with the supporting organizations prior to and during the Beijing meeting. So this would be, a proposed process for a pilot project involving this type of tool to facilitate early engagement by the GAC. Okay. The next steps are to incorporate any feedback we receive today or subsequently in the next few weeks. To begin publication of these early reports or monthly reports between now and the Beijing meeting. Then, of course, to implement the actual project itself. And then at the Beijing meeting to assess the effectiveness of and provide any improvements for the pilot project at the Beijing meeting. Okay. With that, we certainly would be welcome to any questions or feedback that you may have to help facilitate this process.
Thank you very much for that presentation. So I think the floor is now open for comments and suggestions. Possibly if you could go back to the slide that shows the flow chart of the pilot project, that would be helpful. And so the floor is open for comments. I'd particularly invite people with experience of trying to become engaged early in policy development processes to pitch in and let us know whether this addresses the needs that have been observed. But I think Norway first.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for the presentation. And just one question for clarification, and apologies for being slightly confused. But as I understand this, of course, relates to the recommendation number 12, which engaging the GAC into the processes. But of course, my question is: how does this interact? This process? How does this intention of interaction with the recommendations referred to in recommendation number 10, where the ICANN boards are supposed to specifically ask the GAC for advice on specific issues. This process here would then act in parallel or in addition to the obligation of the ICANN board to specifically ask the GAC for advice on specific issues. That is maybe my understanding of this. And I think this is good as an additional element, and as we have been discussing several years, that we need to be involved earlier in the process and flag our concerns and so on. So, but just for the clarification, if this would be an additional mechanism to the one mentioned in recommendation number 10. Thanks.
Chris.
If I've understood I think I've understood the question correctly. So, this is dealing with getting you involved in earlier in policy making in the SOs. Recommendation 10 is to do with the board specifically asking you. So this is the two things are not exclusive, mutually exclusive. They're complementary. The idea is the board often doesn't know about any of this stuff until it comes to the board. So the policy development process in the CCNSO, for example, the board may not be on the board's radar until fairly late on. The idea of recommendation 12 was to get it onto your radar as soon as possible, so that if you want to involve, if you want to make comment, give input, you can do so. In the case of the CCNSO, that is to some extent already built in at two defined points in the policymaking process where the chairs get together and talk about it. In the case of the GNSO, it isn't. And in both cases, the better informed you are on an ongoing basis about what's happening, the easier it is for you to handle, to talk about the issues and handle them. But none of that affects the or has any effect on the board requesting advice from, formally requesting advice from the GAG.
Okay, Norway, and then we'll go to the talking order again.
Yes, thank you. Just for a quick response to that. Yes, so that's good. So to speak, that this procedure is an informal way of interaction and getting the GAC involved, and the other as a complementary to the formal ICANN board activity and requesting the GAC advice. Thank you.
Yeah, that's right. And I believe the earlier the GAC is involved, the better the GAC would be ready to give a timely advice, and there won't be any surprises later within the process. So now I have UK and then US and then Australia.
Yeah, thank you very much, Manal, and thanks very much, Brian, for talking us through the proposed tool. I think it's a very welcome initiative to develop such a tool. And I certainly like the one-pager aspect of it. That is going to be a great help. And given the loadings on us, certainly at this time. I guess I just have one question, really, for clarification. And that is, what is the check mechanism for determining that a GNSO or CCNSO policy issue makes it onto this policy update as a one-pager item for us to look at? I'm just worried, you know, that things fall between the cracks so easily in this very complex environment that we're working in. So I wasn't quite clear, maybe I missed it at the beginning, as to how you survey what's going on in the supporting organisations and then identify, that's got to go into the policy update as a one-pager for the GAC's attention. I mean, would that survey of issues perhaps involve the GAC chair or GAC vice chairs in support of the chair to help ensure that the right issues are being picked out and we're not going to be flooded with stuff that perhaps isn't more of essential concern to us? I'm speaking, you know, that would be a very extreme sort of handling of this. But as I say, my main anxiety is to ensure that nothing falls between the cracks. So I just have that question for clarification. As to what the GAC does subsequently, I think the idea of the chair steering it to an inner group, a working group, of the GAC interacting online, I expect intersessionally mainly, is a good approach. So that there's a mechanism there for the GAC to pick it up and go back or disseminate it further to the whole of the committee with the chair's endorsement. So I think that's a good mechanism to envisage as the follow-on, if you like. Thanks very much.
Thank you. So, David, yes, please.
Question. In terms of the issues, We in the policy development support staff, of course, assist the supporting organizations, so we know when they're now about to start a formal process, and the PDP is a rather serious and formalized process. The information should be given all that we know, and for example, within the GNSO, there are about 8 active PDPs going on. Within the CCNSO, 1 or 2 others with policy related. And so we would provide all that were officially announced and started by the supporting organizations for you to look at, so you wouldn't miss anything, because we can't miss anything either. We're supporting that activity. So we would, of course, tell you what we're supporting and the official status of it, and then you can take it from there to determine whether or not they were of interest, or we don't need to look at those, or the like. That would be your judgment. But we would not want to flood you with it, but we would want to give you exactly the information that we are doing in real time with the supporting organizations in their process, so you know when we know, and by and large, that's when the whole community knows. We're putting it out for a public comment, or we're putting out for a notice to other groups. So to that extent, it's in our interest to make sure that everyone knows about this for the best input and participation in those topics.
Okay, thank you, David. We have a quick addition from Chris, then US and Australia.
Just to say that what's going to happen after we leave from Toronto, what the intention is that there's a trial. So any input that we could get, Mark, from you would be useful about how difficult or easy it is to understand what's happening. We don't want to write the rules right now, because that negates the reason to have the trial. Thanks.
Thank you, Chris. U.S.?
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. Excuse me. And thank you, David and Brian, for your overview. I certainly, not that I can read anything up there, sorry. I don't have distance glasses, apparently. I need them. But I think it looks like a very interesting approach. It looks like a really useful, practical kind of tool that we can refine over time. So I very much welcome that as an information tool. But I do want to stress that this is simply an information tool, which I believe, in fairness, you did stress as well. It is not, quote, involving the GAC early on in a PDP. I think we need to be crystal clear that this is simply a way to provide information. I do agree with Norway. It does inevitably come back to the other. I mean, these 5 recommendations are actually very much intertwined, because if we look at a chart, whatever comes out of an SO policy process goes to the board. Whatever comes from the GAC in the form of advice goes to the board. What we don't have, and what this tool cannot give us as an information tool, is any mechanism for the GAC and the SOs to actually formally engage. So we all understand that we do our best in each meeting to have informal exchanges. We do try to keep abreast. Our habit in the GAC has been to identify, you know, volunteer issue leads, and we kind of rely on each other to keep the entire GAC up to date as to what's going on here or there. However, what I really want to stress, and I know we will not resolve this today, but I think we have to be mindful it's an extremely important priority, is the structural obstacles that currently exist, and I think we need to deal with this head on, if I may say. This concept of, quote, early engagement in a PDP is, at one level, unworkable. It cannot be translated into reality. So with the CCNSO, there is, in fact, a more affirmative recognition on the part of the CCTLDs that they're in their processes. They will formally alert the GAC to the fact that, you know, we're going to take on this issue. We look for you to collaborate with us, and we tend to work that out. We have some fairly good experience there. And what I'm about to say about the GNSO is not at all intended as a criticism of the GNSO in any way, shape, or form. However, the GNSO is structured based on different stakeholder groups, and they have very discrete rules for the membership and the participation in those different stakeholder groups. All of those stakeholder groups then have to come together at some point, and they reach agreement. Typically, my understanding is, and anybody can correct me if I'm wrong, through voting. So I think let's be very, very clear. The GAC is not a member of any stakeholder group inside the GNSO, nor can we vote. So I myself would suggest that it is impossible to even think that we as GAC can, quote, participate in a GNSO PDP. Can we provide information? Could we answer questions? Absolutely. And we could probably consider other things. But the habit in the past, in my experience, in being at this table for the GAC, as a GAC member, there has been a cultural sort of mindset and a habit of patting the GAC on its heads and saying, just go join a working group. And that gets your views into the GNSO processes. All due respect, it does not. And it cannot. And I think we need to just simply recognize that, take it for what it is, and understand that we have a shared responsibility. Again, correct me if I'm wrong. My reading of the bylaws suggests that there are only two entities that have any responsibility for public policy. So the GAC provides the board with public policy advice, and it is the board's responsibility to take to make sure that advice is duly taken into account. So it strikes me at some point we need to get to the point, if we had a whiteboard exercise, we could probably all visualize it. You have direct lines of GAC going to the board, SOs going to the board. There has to be some sort of perhaps new mechanism so that when the board gets these different pieces, it is the board that says, well, let's make sure that each of these, certainly the SO pieces coming into us, actually reflect public policy advice from the GAC. I do not believe that has happened on a regular basis, and my apologies if I am wrong, but I do not believe it has happened. I'll give you a couple of case studies. When the GAC finally succeeded in conveying to the board, and we were very gratified that that did work, I believe we all agree the GAC board face-to-face exchanges on new GTLDs were a breakthrough. I think we really turned the corner. Sometimes we feel a little bit like little teeny tiny tugboat here, tugboat Mary moving the Queen Elizabeth out of New York Harbor. And we're getting there. We're beginning to turn this ship around, but we're not quite there yet. So one clear example, you got policy on from the GNSO on a whole range of new GTLD issues, one of which was very problematic, and we ultimately corrected. It was called morality and public order. It took us 2 years to correct that. And actually, had we had GAC board exchanges right at the outset, before the board adopted all of those GNSO recommendations, we perhaps could have avoided that. Because the GAC would have been able to alert you, the board, to the fact that the GNSO actually made a mistake in taking a concept that is in a treaty that is signed by members of the GAC sitting around this table, and they tried to turn it into something affirmative. And we did finally prevail in our engagement with the board, again, over many, many meetings, to convey to you that that is, it was an improper use of an exception in an international treaty that we are signatories to. So clearly, I think in fairness to the GNSO, we cannot expect them to understand or interpret either our national laws or our treaty obligations. We think that that is our responsibility, and I think we stand ready to provide that guidance. However, what we need to build in are more regular checks and pauses and opportunities for either us to affirmatively say to you, we think they got it wrong and we're happy to help with more information, or for you to say to us, okay, we're getting something from an SO that seems to talk about national law or international law. GAC, can you please help us out? So I think we just need to, first, what I would really like us to do through the BGRI is affirmatively embrace, first of all, the concept that public policy is a shared responsibility between the GAC and the board. And that we will, down the road, look to working together to either overcoming these structural obstacles or creating new bridges that permit you, the board, to feel more confident that when you're getting these disparate pieces of advice or policy recommendations, you will have more confidence that public policy issues have been taken into account. It may well be the case that we're going to have to create some new mechanisms. I'm simply trying to put a marker down that we keep using the phrase, you know, early engagement in PDPs, and I actually think we need to pause and step back and realize that Under the current structures we have, that cannot happen. And I see no harm in simply acknowledging that and identifying that as a problem that we are going to tackle jointly. So I will leave it at that. Well, one final thing about the tool. I'd like to also thank the staff because I have another ulterior motive in endorsing this. We are better informed, hopefully. We get more factual, more timely information. Here's my hope on the staff side. There is a flip side, that as the policy staff begins to engage more directly with the GAC in doing these, the policy staff becomes a little more sensitized to GAC public policy concerns, which is a brand new look at Bertrand's reaction. What a concept. So I am looking forward to that outcome as well. Two-way street. Thank you.
Thank you, United States. I have a few requests for the floor here, but as I listen to you, it sounds to me as though you are saying that the recommendation actually cannot be achieved.
If I may, no, not at all, and my apologies for even remotely suggesting that. I think where I think we are, let's recall that the ATRT review team completed their work full 2 years ago, which is kind of interesting to think about. So December 2010. I actually think in the intervening time period we have come a very, very long way, and we have learned an enormous amount about each other, about what exchange, you know, what mechanisms work and which ones do not. And I believe, if I may put that out there, and I encourage my GAC colleagues to either, you know, agree or to suggest that I might be a crazy person. You're entitled to do that. I actually think that over time, in the intervening 2 years, I think we're all more sensitized to the fact that this early engagement concept, we know what the concept is intended to convey, but I don't think we have appreciated the structural problems until now. I think it has taken us probably the 2 years of sort of talking to one another and engaging in some experiments. I can give you another example. I will not bore the room, but IOC Red Cross could be yet another case study that we can and should dissect to understand how maybe we want to approach issues like that perhaps differently, because we've learned. So all I'm trying to suggest is perhaps the original mindset has shifted, and I don't think there's any harm in that. I actually think that's a useful thing. It means we have, you know, informed ourselves. We've been better educated. Let's at least acknowledge that we've learned along the way. That may not be the way to characterize what we're trying to do. So that's actually what I'm trying to suggest, and apologies for not being more clear. Perhaps we need to tweak our terminology, not the goal, the terminology. Does that help, Bill?
Thank you. Just one moment, please. Okay, I have a challenge for the chair here. We had a speaking list but then there were some requests for a direct response to the United States intervention. If you will permit me, I think it would be more productive to take those direct responses and then return to the original speaking order, in which case I would ask Bertrand to take the floor, please.
Thank you. Just a quick remark following what you said. As often in those cases, you can describe the landscape by painting the two extreme positions to see what the range of situations are. On one extreme, you have a situation which is the one you described that would interpret this discussion as the GAC should become a constituency of the GNSO and basically participate. No, of course not. What I'm describing are the two extremes. One extreme is the participation is so much inside the existing PDP processes that it becomes actually just one constituency among others. The other extreme is the GAC is so discussing exclusively to the board that it basically has to wait until the whole PDP has been developed, reached the full consensus, comes to the board, and then the GAC comes and says, well, actually, there was a problem you didn't see in the first place. Both systems are, we agree, completely not appropriate. What you're actually pointing to is something that is a little bit on the orthogonal axis, and this is where the reflection is interesting, because what we need actually at the moment in the PDP, not only for the GAC, not only for the board, but for all actors, is a better milestoning, if I can imagine a sort of neologism, i.e. knowing exactly what are the reporting points, to know where we are, what is at stake, what are the key things that have been achieved. And in terms of reporting, it is always something fascinating in many of the procedures in ICANN that there is very rare moments where issues are closed until before the end, i.e. the discussion goes on and there is very little reporting, or not enough reporting, that says, okay, issue A was this, it has been solved, then we move to the ongoing other ones, and there is a clear indication to the outside actors of a PDP, of where everybody is in the PDP. And this kind of tool, this kind of decision, allows all actors, I hope, the GAC but also others, to know exactly what is being discussed at that specific moment, and to chime in, either through a direct interaction between the GAC and the board in a meeting like this one, without necessarily taking the form of a full advice, but not waiting until the last minute. Being informed, participating in a working group is mostly to be informed if there is no reporting like this. So my point is, implementation of the objective of the ATRT recommendation is to look at the workflow of policymaking in ICANN, and this is probably part of the evolution of the methodology inside the GNSO, and it goes beyond the relationship between the GAC and the GNSO itself. Just a smiling note, your comment in the end is actually taking a round route to provide input through the staff, not even through the board, which is an interesting development, I would say.
Thank you, Bertrand. Ray Polzak, I have next, please.
Thank you, David. Suzanne, this will shock you, but plus one. Everything you said is dead on, and we don't need to be involved in a discussion here about how to design this and so forth. It is a task. I think that you have a very firm grasp on the understanding of what the ATRT recommendations are saying, and I think you're absolutely correct that this is a very hard thing to do, and we can't shy away from doing it. That's the only way we're going to excel, is to continue to work on this and work on it together. I think that you've laid out some very concrete proposals, and these are not design proposals. These are roll-up-your-sleeve proposals and get-to-work type things. And so, as we have together in the past, I would be glad to work with you some more on this.
Thank you. I see Australia next, please.
Thank you, and I should first say I'm very glad that that there was a board response there, because I think that was really helpful at that stage. So first of all, I'd like to join the chorus in thanking the presenters, David and Brian. I think it was very useful, and to the members of the BGRI working group who, you know, came up with this proposal. I actually think this is a really useful, concrete initiative, and I really like the idea that we're just going with it. That's the roll the sleeves up, we're experimenting, we're going to give it a try, and I think that's really positive development. I also agree with the US that it's part of the picture. It's awareness raising, information sharing, not only about the issue itself but about the process. So we get some information about the issue, we get some information about the process and the points that, you know, there is input, potential to input and so on. So I think it's a really useful initiative. But in terms of jumping to my point, I guess, I like the idea of the experiment so much that it would be useful in parallel with this experiment of information exchange and so on to start experimenting with ways of doing the concrete, getting engaged. So I think I heard that there are eight GNSO issues, policy processes currently underway. I'm not sure what they are, so I'm not sure to what extent the GAC will be interested in engaging on each of those. But to the extent that they are live, while we're experimenting with the one pages and the process and so on, may be useful to roll the sleeves up, and if we are going to get involved, experiment with ways of doing that and see how it works. And the final point I would add to that is I'm not sure to what extent the GNSO has been formally involved in this. I see the BGRI working group emails and so on. I think the GNSO potentially is the person missing from the room. It might be nice to know that they're part of an experiment. So I think if we can get all the involved parties knowing that this is going on and get on with it.
Yes, good point, Australia. And I was just going to say to which extent is this being shared with other parts that we should be involved with. So this is also has to be done. We have Denmark, then Norway.
Thank you, Chair. I'm sorry, we are three people sharing a microphone. It's a bit problematic. I would like to thank my US colleague for very clearly phrasing a concern that I share about the GAC getting involved early in the PDP process, because I think that is very difficult. And I have also asked in the working group on the email list how are issues, how do they reach the board and how are they being deliberated within the board and considered whether it's a public policy concern. I think that's important because, as you say, a PDP very often ends on your table when it has been finalised. So maybe it's not just the GAC that needs to get it involved earlier in the process. Maybe it's also the board. That's my point. Thank you.
Thank you, Denmark, Norway.
Yes, thank you. I would also like to thank my US colleague for having these firm and clear comments, because that is also a little bit in line with Denmark as saying. Of course, this would be nice, and it could also be a nice tool for informing the ICANN board of the issues that's on the table. But also, I think, also in line with the US comments, that it must be crystal clear for also the ICANN board that this tool, that it is a tool, a mechanism, in no way relieves the ICANN board for the obligation to ask for advice from the GAC. They cannot then say, well, not to misinterpret my comments, but you cannot at any stage hide behind that, well, the GAC has been informed earlier in the process, so of course you should have provided advice on this. That should not happen. It must be crystal clear that the ICANN board still have the obligation to formally ask the GAC for advice on issues. And, of course, as the US clearly pointed out, the obligation on the public policy issues is for the GAC to provide advice to the ICANN board and the ICANN board to assess that and make decisions. Thank you.
Gonzalo, yes, please.
Thank you. I'm going to speak in Spanish, but I think, bueno, ya que algunos
Since some of my friends and my colleagues spoke in Spanish before, I would like to be clear to Norway and the U.S. We clearly understand what you're saying, and we are going to implement it, and we are going to discuss this internally in the board, because many times we have the opportunities of interacting like we are doing now. And it's important for the GAC to understand that the board listens and the board considers and takes into account what you are saying.
UK, and then I want to make a comment myself. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Manal. I just have one thought about the bridge-building point that the US mentioned. I guess the one-pager and the process of sort of follow-up to the one-pager would help inform the agenda setting for the GAC interaction with the GNSOs quite often. Not at this meeting, actually, but... at most meetings, we have a session with the GNSO, and so you could envisage perhaps the process of setting that agenda has a PDP item clearly identified, and then in the actual agenda for the meeting with the GNSO and also meetings that we have with the CCNSO, you actually clearly identify PDP issues for discussion. I'm just thinking of that as a sort of valuable add-on triggered by the one-pager for enhancing the interaction with the supporting organizations in a very focused way. These meetings are not lengthy ones, of course, so they don't provide much facility for in-depth scrutiny of a policy development process, but that interaction at least could then create another mechanism for direct engagement on the issue between the GAC and the GNSO. But we'd have to think about how that kind of mechanism could be formally constructed. But I think there is that sort of merit of informing the agenda setting and capturing that in the actual agenda of GAC GNSO and GAC CCNSO meetings. Something to think about. Thank you.
Thank you, UK. I have Netherlands next.
Yes, thank you. I think it's been a very constructive meeting on this point. I echo a lot of comments which I've heard around from both board and GAC colleagues. I just have one question about this monthly, let's say, regularity of the process. I'm not completely, I don't have in-depth knowledge about how many PDPs are started every time, but I would think that if there are not so many PDPs, you could have more like a trigger mechanism instead of a monthly update. What is the reason that you put it in a monthly regular rate? Because if, for example, there are yearly 10 PDPs, you could have a trigger mechanism in which you make, let's say, on the moment itself the PDP is started or there is a question to be solved, that's a trigger moment to issue a one-pager to the GAC and other constituencies. Thank you.
Okay, Portugal.
I'm going to speak in Portuguese. Thank you very much. I would like to say some things. First of all, I support what the UK has said. That is to say that the GAC will participate from the very beginning in the discussion with the GNSO regarding PDPs. As it was mentioned before with respect to the ongoing PDPs, I don't know whether it is possible or not, but there is an interaction between the GAC and the GNSO. This is key, and it is a key element for this meeting. So these are issues that are on the table, particularly to consider the significance of
the GAC and GNSO work regarding PDPs. It is not enough for the Board of GAC to be at the end of the process, but I think all the actors should participate and should be involved from the very beginning.
Okay, thank you, Portugal, and apologies for the delay. I was just waiting for the translation to finish. So, before handing to Bill, I just have a question to ourselves as a working group. I'm not very sure I can put my hands on the problem. Is the GAC not early engaged because it is not early informed, because it is not explicitly requested, because other SOs and ACs are not requested to consider the GAC advice? I mean, because I thought part of it was that the GAC is not informed of what's going on until very late into the process. The thing that was addressed by the suggested pilot. But what I'm hearing now is it's not only a matter of being early informed. So what else are we requesting? If we can be more clear, we can try to make this happen. So, Australia?
Look, I agree. So, as I said before, I think this initiative is a really important part of the picture, but I don't think it's the whole picture, and I agree with much of what has been said around the table, and why I was suggesting that we experiment with mechanisms at the same time, because otherwise we'll be trying to dream up one for quite some time. But I think part of the problem may be that, you know, the bylaws are very explicit that the GAC gives advice to the board. There's some mechanisms around that. We've all been talking about it and working on it. It's getting clearer and better and so on. The provision of SO recommendations to the board is also clear, and there's precedence and everyone knows what that's about. I think from my point of view in the GAC, and I wonder if it's the same in the SOs, is if the GAC gives something which isn't advice to the board, let's call it an input, I'm not sure they know exactly what to do with it. I'm not sure that we as a GAC know exactly what we expect in response. Do we just give it to the GNSO and it gets put into the process and something comes out? Should, as a minimum, we expect a response? Should we expect something akin to what we get from the board if they don't follow advice, a rationale and a discussion? I think part of the issue is that there's no formal process, as far as I'm aware, around this. So if the GAC does become aware of a process early in, quite early, and then provide some kind of input, I don't think we know what to expect, or the GNSO knows what to expect. We can go ahead and keep trying and making it up as we go along, but I think it'd be pretty useful to have a discussion around what that may look like, or just start trying and then say that didn't work so well, let's try something else. I mean, but I think that's part of the issue, for at least from my perspective.
US, and I think we need to wrap up afterwards.
Thank you, and I'm sorry to take the microphone again. I just wanted to concur with what Peter has said. And interesting the way you presented the questions, it is all of the above. It isn't just one of those factors. So I think it is all of them, but I think that's not meant to be you know, a defeatist perspective at all. It's just let's know what the reality is that we're dealing with, and we tackle them one by one. So I do like the idea of experimentation, and I do think, I mean, I think it goes back to our joint working group report, which is, you know, well over a year now, where we proposed a number of different tools, one of which was reverse liaisons. I think at one point, I cannot remember for the life of me which meeting, but we asked the GNSO whether each of their stakeholder groups might wish to have a reverse liaison to the GAC, and I think they were stunned speechless. So it was kind of an interesting reaction. And maybe liaisons are not the mechanism. We have struggled with having GAC liaisons to other parts of the community, because it tends to just become overwhelming, and there are some misperceptions that the liaison can speak on behalf of the GAC, and that has generated more confusion than it has reduced. So, you know, maybe that is not an efficient tool, but at some point, perhaps, as we move along experimenting with our new tool, the information channel tool, we can start exploring some steps that we could take together, GAC board, to reach out to the SOs and invite their feedback so that we can together experiment with some other alternative mechanisms than what we currently employ. Because I will say it's important to continue our interactions. I just feel very strongly that interacting alone does not translate into engagement in a PDP in a meaningful way. And that's all I'm trying to caution against. Sitting at the table doesn't mean that you can find yourself in that result. And that's where I think we wish to be. Thank you.
Okay. I think we're up against our time limit here, and I thank you all for this this very useful discussion. I think I'm quite encouraged that going ahead with the pilot project is a good idea. I'm hearing very clearly that better information and being able to understand what's going on earlier is useful. It's necessary, but not sufficient. So there's definitely a greater need to explore what the mechanisms are, what happens with information coming into the GAC, to GAC reactions going forward into the process, to continuing to improve the relations between the GAC and the board, and continue this dialogue. So these points are all taken. Speaking personally, I agree with them. I've heard from others on the board side that there's broad agreement that this is not a closed door, and there's no intention of representing it as that. So I think all good. I look forward to continuing with this as we go forward. I think we've made very good progress in this group. And I think we need to continue meeting in this BGRI format because it's, at least for me, it seems to be a very useful way of getting work accomplished and getting discussions at a substantive level without all the formality of a formal board GAC meeting that will happen later in the week. So I thank you for that. Mana?
Yes, thank you. And this has been very substantial discussion. I hope we continue this online. And in addition to all what Bill has said and to all the interventions that I fully agree with, we also have to share whatever output we're going to agree on with other SOs and ACs to make sure that it is a common agreed thing, and to ensure that the involvement is both ways, as we mentioned. So I hope we really continue this online, and starting from the pilot project, identify other steps that might be needed to accomplish this. So thank you. Thank you all, and we'll leave you now for lunch.